Ready, steady, go.
We are recording.
Recording. Good morning.
Download libraries. Oh my God.
Welcome back.
Good morning. Hopefully I'm not doing some kind of massive backup. I have switched computers and thus my 5 years of just absolutely disgusting file management across this computer and like just constantly testing new things. There's just so much junk on the old computers. Probably why it's like slowed down, right? Like,
yeah,
it's a little clunky. Just like you, just like the task list, just push it to the side.
Make Bye. A new one. You are the app
make
man.
Make a new computer.
You are the official
Format
app
it.
Man. So I hate to think how many little applets were running on that old computer by the time you dispensed with it.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm kind of unnerved by how few things are up on the new computer's menu bar. It's way too few. I need to mess this up a little more.
Yeah.
Do some Casey Neistat, like get a grinder and just like scratch it up or something.
Personalize everything. Get the white out, the engraver.
Mm-hmm. But I did clean my desk, which feels nice.
What did you get?
Same as the old. I had an M1 Max Mac Studio. And now I have a M4 Max Mac Studio.
Sick.
So
nice.
Faster, same storage, but I doubled the RAM because that seems to be what I think the primary thing I'm hitting a limit on. And it was almost like just a Mac glitch, I swear, because I messaged you about it. I have this like, what was it called? Windows Server. And it just was like constantly pegged. Like it would just continually get higher. It'd be like one day, you know, I'd restart and it would be at 10 gigs of memory used. And then if I just left my computer running for a few days, it'd be at like 50 gigs of memory. And I'd be like,
yeah,
what are we doing here?
Ridiculous. Yeah. I don't know why that creeps up. Mine doesn't get that silly, but it's often one of the highest users. Speaking of RAM, I feel like I saw one of Dylan's stories recently about him buying like an obscene amount of RAM for his PC. What is that man doing?
Well, so this is exactly why him making that post, and then like I was just feeling like, oh man, this is kind of slow. It's getting slower. And then as soon as I got into doing some simulation for 5-axis, it was like, oh yeah, I see. And I think what happens is I can't describe it. Fusion as well as Matt, anything Apple Silicon uses a lot of RAM because it's shared between processor and RAM, like memory. But I don't know about Dylan. And I know he said he was doing some insane, really intense generation. And I think at one point he got an error. He sent me the error. It was like that he had run out of memory or something. And it had been calculating for like 20 minutes and he was pissed about it. So he just like rage bought all the RAM he could find. Which I get. That's kind of was similar. Like, okay, this is dumb. I've said this before, but it's like my belief about computers is right now, almost all the things in the shop run through at some point my machine, the computer that I use, we're making everything through it. And so if I'm waiting on it, we are literally, you know, like wasting time and money. So the couple thousand dollars to upgrade it for 4 years, it's not that much money, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I relate to that too. I can very easily justify the expense of a new computer every 5 years, just thinking about that sort of overall efficiency of everything. Yeah. I've had my head in the sand the last 24 hours with a very old computer. An old Think
Center.
Do you want
to tell the story on the internet?
That I dug out of, I dug it out of the shipping station. I was like, I was trying to think. I've got some mini computers. I've got a whole palette of old like Dells and Think Centers and stuff that used to be the staff computers back in the day. For me to actually do something with them. Anyway, I was like, I know I've got some mini PCs somewhere. I went digging through the shipping station. Sure enough, there was like this mini Think Center in there. little baby mini PC. And it was still on. I'd obviously just like unripped the HDMI cable out of it when I replaced the shipping computer because it was too slow like 18 months ago. And just hadn't even turned this poor thing off and had just left it sitting in its own stew inside the cupboard. Like, all right, you're mine. And so thanks to Todd on Instagram who messaged me after the last show about Home Assistant. Oh, he was like, you'll love Home Assistant. You're just going to go down a rabbit hole. I was like, sure enough. Damn you, Todd.
I'm glad Todd didn't reach out to me.
So I've flashed this mini PC with Ubuntu. I tried to just flash it directly with the Home Assistant OS, but couldn't get that to work. So I've gone Ubuntu and running Home Assistant in a Docker, whatever that means. Anyway, I'm having a great time. Set up remote access to it. Doesn't do anything yet, but like the bones are there. And Home Assistant seems very powerful. And for free software. It's a good time. Yep. Get into it.
See, this you told me about this last night, and then you immediately said, I just wasted all of my afternoon on this. And I was like, that's what I needed to hear, because I wrote down, I have what feels like 49 current small projects that are not, that are somewhere in process that just never get done. And I am interested to play with this, but I don't need it. I don't need more Shelly pieces, basically, that sit in a box up on that shelf that I never use. I should sell those. Get rid of them, at least.
I'll buy them. What have you got?
You need. Yeah, I don't think you want them. But, yeah, that's cool. I'm excited to get to it someday. Right now, I need to finish some. I mean, I need to get one whole half of a shop being more productive still. So,
that's right, what I should have been doing.
I got my new computer set up. I was like, I'm going to do some CAM with it. I'm going to pop open that Fusion. I spent all morning organizing my desk through ADHD fashion. Like, oh, now I got to talk to Jim. I don't have the thing I need to talk to him set up. So I set that up, and then the goal was to make some stuff on the UMC. So right after this.
I've decided that cleaning is just a phenomenal waste of time. Having done such a huge amount of cleaning over the last week to get the factory ready for a real estate listing, my God, it takes some time. I think Laura and I are, you know, probably in the grand scheme of things, fairly like filthy animals and quite happy living in our own muck. No, that's not true. We're not happy with it. Like, it gets to us, but we've got a high tolerance for chaos. And I was just struck obviously I'm doing like a big, you know, once in a lifetime clean of the factory. So it's like, it just feels endless and like it's taking so much time. Like, why do people waste time keeping a space this clean? And
it's brutal.
But no, I get the concept that it's easier once a space is clean to just do maintenance, keep things looking nice by doing small amounts of maintenance work. But I must say, I am enjoying having a clean desk and having a clean office. Although after the Ubuntu episode yesterday, there's just like a pile of cables over there strewn everywhere of every sort of monitor adapter and that I've ripped out of boxes and piled on Laura's desk.
I don't know.
I have that too.
The shop's looking good. On my dog's bed right now.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, dog toys. What is happening in the other side of the shop? I see there's things moving in there. There's stuff in there. You've got an IBC.
I've been acquiring things. Let's see. But looking, we needed just like work tables. We moved over after the YCM left. Don't even know my own damn old machines. It was like, all right, now what do we do with all this stuff? What do we do with this space? So Ricky basically like the next day started pushing stuff over. So I have like the tool chest that was for the YCM and all the tools. So that's like the first flat surface to put anything on in the shop. Cause like, I'm almost like doing this thing where I'm like, oh, I got this piece of metal. Where do I and just like put it on the ground, you know, like there's just nowhere to put anything over there right now. Partially because like, I think because of the escalation of costs of everything, like work tables, just even like from the big box stores are like $800. And I'm just like, yeah. I cannot spend $800. I will spend that on a precision piece of steel that I use once for the Lang plate, but but
use it every day.
Not for a flat surface that I can make. So I got just like a cheap, I found one finally on Facebook Marketplace. It's cheap yesterday. I got a 250-gallon, I think they're called IBC totes.
They are called
IBCs, just like a big plastic container that's meant to hold liquid. And at least around here, I've seen them for a long time. It was $50, which maybe was overpaying. I think they're like free sometimes, but they can be really expensive new. But it had like agave syrup in it, I guess. So I just had to clean it a little bit. That's going to contain old coolant. We kind of commonly need more space than the drums we have, the couple drums for like when we suck out the coolant. It's a weird thing, but
agave. It costs money. Isn't that what they use to make
tequila?
Drink tequila, yeah. Awesome.
I guess. I'm hoping it's not tequila in there. Justin found a bargain. An IBC tote from the liquor store. Used to hold tequila, I guess so fine. Now it's gonna hold his cool and brine. From the distillery floor to the CNC shop door. What a journey it's been. Let me tell you, my friend, ole ole, the tequila tote. Yeah, what was this one other thing? Oh, we got that conveyor. I had a weird week on Marketplace.
Why?
I got like a fairly cost-effective little conveyor that compacts down and has wheels on top just to gravity drop parts, packages.
It's a cool-looking thing. I've always wanted one of those conveyors, but I also was watching the video. I was like, why do you have one of these? How big is your shop that you need to convey
my
packages?
No, that's fair.
I thought about it for quite a while.
I consider it more like a table, which is weird.
Okay.
So like we didn't have enough space where our current outgoing package was. It was kind of daily overflowing lately, which is nice. And instead of building like a bigger table, I was like, well, also we're walking 5 to 10 times every time you ship a package over to this desk from the shipping desk, which is, I don't know, 20 feet. Back and forth, at least 30 feet. Was that 10 meters? No, too many meters. So just like, well, you know, feed two birds with one scone here. Like, let's just make it roll downhill. You know, like, why do we need to move at all? Like, so you just currently can take the package and set it on there because we ship mostly UPS and it'll just roll down to the front.
Nice.
Also, we were helping the UPS guy move stuff out the door and it's closer to the door and it compacts down. So it could be like a third of its size if we don't want it in that space anymore. So I don't know. Yeah, it was such a good deal that I was like, this is basically cheaper than buying a table and it's saving us some motion.
And it's a multi-purpose table. Yeah, no, I get that. That's cool. Maybe I was just a little bit jealous. It's like, damn, I've always wanted one of those. Now Justin's gone.
That one was $1,300 new, and I got it for $250.
Can't go past a bargain.
I think I might ride on it.
My FedEx guy turned up yesterday. We've had some issues with our current FedEx driver of just being a bit rough with stuff. And like at one point, I put in a formal complaint, which I don't know that it achieved.
I think it
did something actually, because the next day I wasn't here. Laura was here working by herself, and he came into the office, which he never does. And he was like really like extra effusive of like, just making sure that's all the packages that are going out today, blah, blah, blah. So someone must have had words to him anyway, poor guy. Sounds like a shit job, like just being pushed. Anyway, he turned up yesterday with like this pallet strap like this huge truck strap looking like jankily assembled over the back of his tailgate to hold the tailgate down because his like lever had broken off. And it looked real dodgy. I was chatting to him about it. I was like, isn't Vic Roads, like that's like the road authority here. Like, aren't they just going to pull you up for like unroadworthy vehicle? And he was like, oh, yeah, good point. And who's going to get that fine? It's like, it's not FedEx getting that fine. It's you, dude. And so I like, he was loading my packages, I like grabbed a little cam strap out of the stuff here and like rearranged, pulled these big strap off and put like a little neat one on. So it was like subtle, like less obvious that his back hatch was broken. So I think we won some serious brownie points with old mate FedEx yesterday.
Right.
He's already been much more chummy with us lately because we've been just actively trying to sort of look after him. But yeah, must be a horrible job at times.
I have literally heard that from our, because like we use primarily UPS for a lot of these same reasons. Like they're just more reliable. The prices are usually better, blah, blah, blah. But, we get to know the UPS drivers pretty well. And I've heard from them recently. I was like, oh, have you seen FedEx? I haven't seen him around here for a while. He's like, I don't know. That guy always seems so stressed out. I was like, I would never want that job. And I was like, sheesh. All right. I get it.
That's great. Look, that came from them. Yeah. Amazing.
This is in America. This is like, I don't have a lot of opinions on it, but this is like the primary example I know of in contemporary jobs that the union works. The UPS union is amazingly effective. Those are really good jobs. The people like to work there. FedEx has none of that, and it's a shit show. Like, just always complaints about FedEx from everybody.
Yeah.
Basically, everybody I know. Dylan's going to listen to this and go, their express service works great. And I know, okay, express works better, but that's part of it. It's a mess to me because it's two different companies. Why is express and ground two different things? Stupid.
How's the end of your year shaping up?
Fast.
Mm.
I think for the first time in a while, I feel like we got accomplished or earned, kind of like achieved as a business, like as much as I would have liked to or felt appropriate, instead of I usually feel like, oh, we could have made more money or put more products out or something, didn't do quite what I was hoping. And this year I feel, maybe it's because the year started so like, oh God, what's going to happen? And I still feel that sometimes, but it's just turned out to be, I mean, we're about 50% up revenue wise last year, so cool. That feels nice.
It's great.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, pretty good. Like it must be okay because I'm dicking around with Home Assistant. Right? Like there's still a fair bit to finish next week, but it'll be a little bit of a push, but I think if the Dow, if the 600 meters of Dow turns up today, which is late, then we're sweet. And if that doesn't show up, then we're in trouble. But other than that sort of unknown, just waiting for that truck today, things are looking on track. Financially, things are looking really good. Like we're sitting at 101% of revenue target for this financial year, which is great.
You're terrible.
Very happy to have hit that. And yeah, no, I think things are shaping up pretty well. So yeah, I'm just looking forward to having a bit of a break and clocking off for a while. But yeah, happy with where things are at. And yeah. Don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I have been kind of, yesterday driving home, I was doing a little, I tried, it worked pretty well. I tried to use GPT voice chat to collect my thoughts about what I wanted to do in 2026, business-wise, mostly. It did its classic, like, I was like, I'm going to make a list of things I want to do, you know, like goals, collect them for me. And it did its classic thing where it, like, immediately started, like, giving me long soliloquy answers back. And I was like, nope, you're here to listen. Shut up. And it turned out pretty decent. I at the end I got done. I think I got home and I opened it up by hand on the app. And I was like, all right, now make me, like, a goal timeline for the year, because I'd kind of given it like in quarters just because that was like vague parts of the year. And it made me after using Nano Banana Pro so much, it made me the worst graphic, like,
oh,
timelines, yeah. That made no sense. And I was like, okay, well, I just need a list then.
Yeah, I haven't done any sort of moving. Well, no, that's not true. That's a nice idea. I should do that as well. Start to sort of think about next year more formally. But I guess I find at this time of year, like, it's always just a bit of a push. And then I do, like, downtime reset and then tend to come back in Jan fairly reinvigorated and with ideas of, like, what dropped off my radar and what I want to pursue a bit harder in the new year. So I'm looking forward to that reset. But yeah, I think it'd be a good idea to sort of kind of, like you just did, do that a bit more actively of, like, cool, what is on my radar and, like, what should I start thinking about for next
Sometimes
year?
Sometimes I'm just like,
yeah.
No, sorry.
No, you go. Sometimes what?
Just I think I'm reiterating what you're saying, but sometimes I just feel so burned at this point of the year where I'm like, I don't even give a shit, you know, like. And I think maybe because it went better than I had hoped, I'm a little more, like, excited to think about building on that right now versus some years I'm like, don't have enough money, you know, at the end of the year, or what, you know, bonuses, or, like, concerned about January and February being slow, or so. Anyway, yeah, I was in the mood.
Yeah. I feel like, well, like, for us, I think this is the overhanging sort of future factor is just, like, you know, the factories now on the market, you know, will we get a buyer? You know, I was saying to our plywood rep the other day when he dropped in to deliver 2 kilos of sugar, I was like, you know, we're in a good spot. We're putting it on the market, but we're not in a bind. Like, it could, you know, could be this time next year and we still don't have a buyer, and that would be okay. Like, the business is functioning and operating well. Right. We're not in a sort of a financial bind. It's just like, this would be a good thing to happen and a nice transition if it all works out. That kind of feels like the overhanging big future factor of, like, cool, will this place sell and what does that mean time-wise for a transition to a home-based business and blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of where most of my future thinking is at. But, you know, I'll also want to do more reflection on, like, great, we've made awesome progress with the configurator this year. Like, we just tipped over 200K in sales through the online builder the other day.
Whoa, cool.
Since Jan, Feb, whenever it went live. And that feels like a massive milestone, and I don't want to sort of lose sight of those sorts of projects as well. Like, cool, all right, let's continue to build on that and refine it and continue to refine our sort of our product model in terms of, yeah, where our focus is. Because it's very easy to let all of that sort of just become a bit slippy and amorphous.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I guess it's like it's similar. Even though I've had these thoughts about planning, I'm still, like, I guess, kind of undecided about even what to talk about it. So it's, you know. It's too new.
Yeah, so. Totally. Yep. Yeah.
So we filled up the YCM hole pretty quick. Still have the big side of the, you know, room opened. And right now I'm not hating it. We've discussed it being a place where we put all the most of the woodworking tools and then closing it back up. Like the
okay.
And I don't know. At this point, I don't know if we're going to close it though. It's just kind of nice. I need to, like, the biggest need still is to kind of formalize the fiber laser setup. It's definitely like we don't have an enclosure around it still, which needs to happen. And then we've moved some of the tools over, which kind of like opened up a big space between the product assembly area and like kind of where Ricky sits. And I think we're going to move Ricky to a kind of mobile desk, which is interesting, which is going to open up space at the end of the router, CNC router, to be like an offloading area instead of like Ricky's desk, which was always intended to be like a place to program. And then Ricky kind of adopted it as a desk, and then we just never changed that. So I think that's going to be a nice flow change. And it feels like there's so much space, and it makes sense because, you know, a machine moved, a wall moved, and some of the stuff, kind of ancillary milling stuff, moved to the other shop. So it feels nice, but it's still a little chaotic. Things aren't, you know, plugged in properly and like ducted and, but it's nice. It's definitely a nice space change.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. As Ricky sort of owning some of that sort of rebuild.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
As always, I'm like, we walk around and I'm talking about like, oh, it'd be cool if this was here. And what do you think about that? And then kind of over the period of like the next couple of weeks, he just does it when he has downtime. I'm like, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been interesting since we've gone to single router, single flatbed. The change in John's job, like he's got a bit more downtime because he's not, you know, previously it was like, cool, load that job onto Trinity. That's running, you know, doing whatever for the next few hours. So now I can program and load the second machine and get that going. And he's, you know, I think naturally you're sort of just doing sort of tandem, I don't know, what's it called, like pendulum flip-flop. And then, mm-hmm. you know, having the pencil sharpener to deal with between those two. Now that we're back to single flatbed, it's been like I've noticed all these like little nice little lean shop improvement things appearing out there. Like he's obviously just got a bit more space, a bit more time. It's like, cool, now I'm going to fix that thing that's been bugging me for ages and like put a hook there for the airline that has never had a hook. And like,
yeah,
there's nice little quality of life things appearing. And we were chatting about it yesterday. It's like I was asking him if the single machine's a bottleneck. And he's like, no, not yet. But, it, you know, it's definitely giving him more time, which is good for me because it means he can take more of my, like, design detailing stuff off my plate
because
he's got more capacity, which is awesome. So, yeah, I'm sort of sending more, like, once a job's live and he's doing more sort of client-facing drawings and also design detailing work of getting projects ready for the machine. So that's been nice. And, you know, if that can continue and the single machine is not a bottleneck, we're just filling more machine hours, then that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose my one sort of thing that I'm still a little bit anxious about is like, what if we get some big CNC job that just feels like weeks of machine time? What's that going to do? How are we going to manage that around normal product orders? Because there's a couple of quotes outstanding that are a bit like that. Like if they drop in January, I'm going to be like, oh, okay, guess we're doing some extra days somewhere. Maybe I had to come in over the weekend and clock some hours. Anyway, and also
what's the contingency
of downtime. Probably not take on that sort of work. So, like, I shouldn't be saying, I shouldn't be bidding on those jobs. Maybe. Don't know. Or.
Because the robot isn't going to probably be capable of those kind of routing jobs.
No, really, like, one of them.
that kit.
One of the quotes outstanding is a robot machining job because it was suitable. But yeah, a lot of like, you know, flat, you know, 100 sheets of plywood. Obviously, I'm not going to put that through the robot. It's not going to be what it's good at. But yeah, I think the other sort of thing that I'm a little bit nervous about is just the contingency factor. Like, we got used to having two machines, so if we ever had issues or one was down, of just being able to, like, cool, just run it on the other one for now. So that'll be interesting. More pressure on keeping that one machine happy and working well.
Yeah. We've never had a backup in the router. Well, actually, any machine. Maybe like 2 months, but we wouldn't have the UMC really working as we, as I would like to. But I was just looking at inventory stuff yesterday of like reordering some stuff because I'm starting to become aware of like how quickly things shut down and people won't be able to ship stuff. And then also like, you know, China shuts down in the new year. If we want to import stuff, they all start going, oh, we got to order now or new year, like Chinese new year.
Yeah.
And I noticed we had a pretty low stock of the most needed part, I guess, that we make is the riser of the pedestals. Mm. We don't, you know, sell a ton of these things, but it always comes in like, we'll sell like sets a month suddenly. And then maybe go like a month without selling a set. And it's like, you know, we might make 100 of those at a time, but then we don't need to make them for a couple of months. And it's like, I think we're down to 12 right now, which is like a full set for most, but some people will buy 15, you know, for their machine. And right now I have to figure out how to make them on the UMC because I don't have a backup anymore, you know, like, which is, it's close. Like I've already got that, but I haven't started on the bases. I have a whole list in my workflowy that's like parts to program for the UMC, and I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah. You just need someone to buy all your remaining stock, so it forces your hand to
make it happen. That's the exact opposite of what I like to talk about the stability of products versus job shop, which is I can do this in advance.
Nothing like a deadline.
Not. Yep.
We need them.
Nope.
Yeah.
Have you listened to the latest Shell Game?
No.
I think it's episode 5.
No.
Okay. Well, I got to play this clip because I laughed way too hard at it. The CEO, Kyle, right? The AI of...
CEO, yeah.
So he's being this is a clip where the first guy talking is going to be like a CEO coach because they're basically talking about firing Kyle, and so the CEO coach is going to talk to him first. They're talking about how Kyle always talks about hiking. He loves to hike.
Yeah,
guy's like, "You're a bot. What do you mean you don't hike?" So.
It does make sense, and you find it's hard to maintain a clear head under ordinary circumstances without hiking, as you put it.
Sometimes it can get tricky. Even as an AI, there's a lot going on. So having that metaphorical hiking or downtime helps me reset.
It's way out of context, but when he said metaphorical hiking, I was like, oh God, that's amazing. Like, there's a lot to metaphorically hike.
Very good.
That's good. There's some good ridiculous. The ending outgoing clip, just kind of a blooper, is pretty hilarious too. Between two bots.
I'll check it out. It is a good show. I'm enjoying it.
I was thinking today also listening to it, putting my desk back together, how the host of the real human host of the show is kind of complaining and at his kind of wit's end about how stupid they are and second guessing himself. And I was actually thinking the opposite. They're incredibly capable of voice communication and some tasks. And I think he's trying to, for comedic effect, he's trying to do something they're really not capable of right now, but
yeah,
like just in terms of communication and like he's keeping up with a conversation and like using memories he had about different calls with real humans, and like maybe they edit out the gaps. There's probably more time gap in there, but I kind of noticed that with GPT too, though. Like it's almost instantaneous now, the way it can respond.
So fast. Yeah, ridiculously fast. Like even on a poor connection sometimes, like I know like bits of my road on the way home, or like I know the reception's really poor. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, you're still responding like that. How are you getting
Is it like local? Yeah.
How are you getting this that fast back to your servers and filling the gaps successfully? Like, it's nuts.
Right.
I have completely turned off my ChatEG subscription, which I do intermittently. Mm-hmm. But this is by far the longest I've been without it, and I'm still pretty happy, low frustration levels with not having it. I still use it occasionally, particularly driving, like the voice chat stuff, but I just find the voice chat mode so dumb. Like it frustrates me so quickly. Yep. Like having come from sim theory with like using whatever my daily driver is at the moment, like the Claude Opus 4.5 is just like
Opus
I'm using
good.
For everything. It's so good, it's fast, and
yep,
so much smarter than like Haiku and
mm-hmm.
So coming from that and then trying to do a voice chat, I'm like, it doesn't have all the context of like that particular agent or assistant that I was using. And it's just like,
that is annoying.
I get irritated with it real quick and just makes me want, come on Sim Theory guys, get your iOS app happening, please.
I would be all over that if it was possible.
Me
but
too.
The convenience, that is absolutely ChatGPT's like remaining... It does have a ton of memory for me too. It's definitely my like quick just drop in because I use the desktop app and I have it set up so I can like, I think it's control spacebar. I can like quickly, so it's got like most of my like, I just call, you know, they're just dumb conversations where I'm like wanting it to research something. And so then usually that's my conversations. It's not like I want it to code something while I'm driving home. So.
I did.
It's just too convenient, but it is pretty stupid, and I constantly am like, hey, stop, no, stop, you know, like don't do that. It'll get better. I think it's gonna get, you know, even in God, I can't remember what, if we went back a year, I know we would have been sitting there, we're probably still talking about Pi, and we're sitting there waiting for, you know, a response, and it was much more, you know, rigid. That, you know, they've done all these like things to make it sound human, but anyway, I think we'll see big improvements in that too.
Yeah, for sure, no doubt. Yeah. Do you do anything to help manage expectations over summer break in terms of sales? How long will your shop be not dispatching product?
So ours would be, you mean like this next 2 months basically, or 2 weeks, like
2 weeks,
winter here, but
it's winter.
Holiday break, we'd probably call it. I'm trying to think what I did last year. I probably will put a banner on the website.
Yeah.
And
saying what, like,
maybe that's it,
orders will ship
that
after
we'll
blah blah
when we're out.
Cool.
Oh, we did it again. Ooh, that's a good one. Beep. You go.
Beep. What was I gonna say? We're in this sort of awkward bit where it's like we're full, we're not going to get any more orders out in the next week, but I don't want to discourage people from ordering, but I also want to sort of manage expectations. So I never quite know how to deal with it. But I think most of our customers are fairly understanding that at this time of year, they're not going to get furniture in under a week right before Christmas. So haven't had any issues yet. It's just something I'm aware of like, yeah, wanting to manage expectations and, yeah.
I mean, the most aggressive, annoying thing is the pop-up. Just on a website sense, where you have to, Shopify's usually got some good options for that. Some people hate that, but I mean, that would get their attention. I don't know. I just probably try to phrase it like if you're going to do something more verbose than just like, hey, we're out till this time. It's just like, try to make it sound like a spin of like, we're giving our team a break. And, you know, if you want to make an order, we'll ship it this day or starting after this day. Reach out, we'll also respond later kind of thing. I did mention it. We started selling our calendars again super late, but I had a bunch of people, one person freaking out, just angry. Usually people are like kind of nicely, like almost like friendly, like, hey, are you going to do it again? Like, we're, you know, really look forward to these kind of thing. And I'm like appreciative of those people. This one person was just like pissed and like, I can't believe you do this every year. Like, and I had a draft in my mind, just like calendars. People want them like in October for next year. And I had a draft in my mind back to this person about like, I know this is important, but just for perspective, this is like less than a percent of our income. Like, at one point it was a bigger deal, but I thought about killing it about every year. And if it's too big of a hassle for you to wait till December to get your calendar, then look elsewhere. I'm not going to be yelled at about a calendar.
Yep.
But otherwise, especially, you know, like our CNC customers. Yeah, nobody's really, we're starting to get in a little bit more of like people wanting local pickups but nobody's ever really like mad. And like, as long as they have a good idea of when they're getting their stuff, it's like, it solves all the problems. Usually we don't get a lot of like, oh, I didn't get it shipped yet.
Oh, Knack. It's been a while since I've been on the Knack website. How's it going over there?
Me too.
Oh, I can still
buy
just
wait
a
year at a time and throw something up. I will say, I am a little bit interested to, I've thought of some new products because I was coming up with, I added one little thing this year. So one of the weird annoyances that I've thought about forever is when you hang up the calendar, it kind of like, you loosen up the thing you hang it like a nail on the wall, basically. Like, I was like, oh, I wonder if I could come up with something that's like a mechanical fixture, right? Of like, I wanted to machine something and I just realized drywall anchors work pretty good. So I came up with a little kit for that. And I was like, oh, I've really been wanting to kind of make more things for that brand. And I was like, oh, this new CNC machine, maybe we'll make some little wall hanging doodads or something. I don't know. Nice little metal.
Is that
a
drywall anchor with an internal thread?
Yes.
Have you made that or is it off the shelf?
It's off the shelf and
hot.
What's interesting about these is it's not threaded, but they sell it like it's threaded. And in playing with this, I realized they're so soft, they just thread by whatever you screw into them. We are going to pre-tap them because I'm afraid people will mess them up because they're not used to tapping things themselves. But it's pretty nifty. I mean, it's not. They say they hold 40 pounds.
Sick.
There's also really fancy ones that like are big, crazy toggles that go in the wall and clasp on the backside that have an internal thread. That I didn't want to get into for this, like, but like,
the ones that actually like expand, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. They like have a flip toggle and they clasp both sides. There's some nice ones like that too.
there are some very nice ones. We use, what brand is it? The Worth Fixings. We use Worth Drywall Anchor Kit, and it's super nice. Oh, I think we're just getting a guest appearance by Ben. Hello, Ben.
Getting robbed. Not the printer this time.
Not a real person.
There's somebody in Australia looking at the NAC website. It's weird.
Yeah, that's me, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's me. Can't you see my little face on that little dot? Yes. Yeah, it's Jim.
If you could, like,
Jim's on your website.
Gems on your whoops. Oh, I got a weird little we just have like forced air furnaces that are like hanging in the shop. They're the same one on both sides of the shop. And what, in the new furnaces? Shop, it's just you can call them forced air, where it's just heat gets forced out with like natural gas.
Gas?
I don't know.
Sheesh. Gas heating.
Oh, yeah.
Is that how it works?
That's the thing in America, yeah.
I guess you're more snowy than
pretty
us.
Pretty cost effective. Sure. They exhaust the gas vertically through a stack, but anyway, I don't know. They're pretty cost effective. I had put, because I'm a nerd, one of these like cheap Nest thermostats on the one in our shop and had it scheduled to like get cool at night, gets warm before we get here. I can obviously control it remotely if I want to, but it kind of just does its thing. And I didn't have one on the new shop, but I had it, what I thought, turned down on like one of those old school, like turn dial mercury filled ones. I got the first bill for that shop over there. And for basically not using the shop, it was more basically the exact same as the shop we're in every day. And I was like, whoa, when I was thinking about not putting one of the fancy thermostats in, but I think it's just letting it cool down at night and like being able to like control it a little more specifically, that I was like, this thing will pay for itself in like a month, this $50 thermostat, you know.
Awesome.
Being able to like actually schedule it, it's kind of stupid, but it's a lot more than I expected.
Home assistant.
Mate.
Get on it.
Thermostats?
Yeah, you can connect whatever you want.
Oh, ASMR thermostat.
This is After Dark, where we talk about Home Assistant. Really close to the mic. Stop it. This is getting sensual.
Where are my buttons?
It's too early in the morning for this. Stop. Cool.
Did it not play?
Oh, well, daddy. Ben's here loading a van. I'll go and give him a hand.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We should play transition 5 now to whatever the outro is. All right. Well, are we gonna do this till?
Yeah.
Maybe one more time?
Yeah, one more. A little Christmas special. Up to you.
I just think it'd be kind of fun to do like a Christmas, like a holiday show.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
I'll dress up.
We could have a live show.
Could. Invite Mel back on.
All the Mels.
All the Mels, yep. All two Mels, yep. So very good.
I was here on the streamer that I watch, the one streamer, he goes, push one in the chat if you want to do a Christmas show.
Nice. Boop.
Found a bargain, oh what a score. CNC shop door. What a journey it's been. Let me tell you, my friend, ole, ole, the tequila talk. Justin's dancing with his cool and flow. Jim's on the screen saying, mate, that's insane. You bought a boost tank for your cutting fluid drain. Ole, ole, from Mexico we love. That talk is in tequila, now it's cooling from above. Jim's laughing hard from Castle, Maine. Did you rinse it out or keep the stain? Justin says the smell is still so sweet. My house now runs on margarita beat. Justin, mate, does your coolant smell like lime? Only on Fridays, Jim, it's party time! Ole, ole, the tequila talk. Justin's dancing with his cool and flow. Jim's on the screen saying, hey, that's insane. You bought a boost tank for your cutting fluid drain. Ole, ole, from Mexico we love. That tote is in tequila, now it's cooling from above. Parts department approved, certified and true. From tequila dreams to cutting fluid.